Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95BFM.
Hello, Rita, can you hear me there?
Kia ora. How are you going?
Doing very well, thank you. Very well.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
You know, just crying after listening to that best song, but, you know, that's fine.
Heavens. Now, this is the first time that I've been on a show with you, Paddy.
That's right, yes. Yeah, I'm just covering Drive today.
Yeah. Fantastic.
So, I understand we're talking about the Scientists' Rebellion, which is the coolest sounding thing I've heard in quite a long time. If you could,
it is, isn't it? Really, it's actually quite sad. it's sad that it needs to happen.
Right. Yes.
But yeah, they've got a pretty badass name, that's for sure.
It sounds like something out of sci-fi. But could you basically let us all know what it is and what it's about?
Yeah, sure. So you may have actually come across this a little bit in the news and it might have passed some of the listeners by, because it kind of, you know, I think protests sort of do get a little bit brushed over sometimes, but these guys are actually a branch of the Extinction Rebellion.
Oh, really?
And I don't know if you've heard of those guys before.
I have, yes, but for those who don't know, they are a anti-climate change activist group.
Yeah, and they do some pretty kind of out there things. Mm-hmm. And I guess this is probably pretty true of the Scientists' Rebellion as well. So they are climate scientists from around the world, and they are currently conducting the largest ever science-led civil disobedience.
Okay. And what is a science-led bit of civil disobedience?
Yeah. So some of the stuff that in the past that this sort of came together in 2020, led by some physicists, and they've done some kind of low-level protests before about climate change. So just things like targeting universities and research institutes, and I think probably fair to say that quickly realised that it wasn't really getting the attention that they really needed.
Right.
So this week they've kind of done a coordinated effort globally, and did some of those sort of more high-profile arrests. And protests and subsequent arrests have been at the Chase Bank in LA, where they chained themselves to the front doors. Chase Bank, if the listeners don't know, is one of the largest investors in the fossil fuel industry.
Chase Bank, okay.
They've also chained themselves to the door to the Washington to the front. Sorry, the front fencing of the White House in Washington D.C.
Wow.
There's a group of them that have blocked a bridge near Parliament in Germany, and in Madrid they've been throwing fake biodegradable, they say, red fake blood on the doors and steps of Parliament.
Oh, so that's nice. I need to get myself some biodegradable fake blood to throw at things.
Yeah. I do love the way that was kind of, the article I read was biodegradable.
Yeah. I guess you could throw real blood. I suppose that's biodegradable.
That's a very good point.
It's probably connected
around at the moment, for God's sake. So,
yeah.
I guess, you know, what's quite interesting about this is their aim is to really demand some immediate action, and their aim is to show some leadership around this, because I guess these guys are some of the top scientists in the world for our, you know, climate change modelling and research, and, you know, their sort of take is that this is actually an emergency for our planet and for our civilization.
And you'd think that
they need to treat it like it's an emergency.
And you'd think that they'd done enough just by doing the research, finding out what's really going on, and telling everybody about it. You know, you'd think that would really be enough to actually get things done. But I suppose what they're saying with this kind of movement is that it's not actually. It takes a little bit more than just that.
Yeah, and it's a really interesting. I mean, the thing that stands out to me is that as a scientist, like that, you're very, and you know, a lot of the listeners will be studying science there at Auckland Uni. But you're expected to not have a, you're expected to kind of conduct the research and the work, but actually, you're not really allowed to have an opinion. Or it's very much so frowned upon.
Very true.
That you have to have an opinion on this stuff. And, you know, I studied science and I was told that in my undergrad years.
Sure, it's considered a sort of very cold and, you know, clinical discipline, of course.
Yeah, and it's kind of, it's bullshit, really, because if you've come across something that is an emergency and is detrimental to, you know, your family or your friends or, you know, your wider society, then of course you're going to
have an opinion about it. It's, wouldn't you say? It'd be worrying if you didn't, frankly.
Exactly. Exactly. It's kind of unreasonable, almost.
As objective we think of as science being, it's...
If you've seen Don't Look Up, it's on Netflix.
I've heard of it, though.
Movie.
I haven't seen it, but I'm familiar with the
concept. You've heard about it. I mean, this is very much so in that realm of, the movie, so the Netflix, if anyone's listening, it's on Netflix, and it's a movie with Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence, and it's a metaphor about climate change, really, and the scientists in the movie discover a comet that is on track to hit the planet, and they try and raise awareness of it. And instead are called kind of crazy and completely ignored. And it's kind of very, very similar to, you know, how we've treated climate scientists,
It sounds ridiculous when you put it in a fictional context, of course, but it's basically what's actually happening, of course.
100%. You know, you get amazing, amazing scientists like Dr. Mike Joy, who have been raising awareness of this stuff. And you know, he's a freshwater ecologist, so he's been raising awareness about freshwater for a long time. And he just gets death threats constantly. And it's just awful. It's sort of like, you know, these people aren't trying to do anything. And in fact, you know, I don't think it's much of an opinion to really be able to say, like, you know, they'll say you can't have an opinion on whether or not, like, our civilization survived.
Right,
like, that's
weird.
So it is one of those things that people, you know, probably do look at them a little bit and think, oh, my gosh, these people are crazy. And I even thought, wow, you know, to be arrested and possibly lose your career.
Risk your reputation.
But I guess if you're running modelling that is showing that we are on track to sort of die out as a species and no one's listening to you, then what's the point, you know?
If the water's, like, coming up over your head, at least you kept your reputation in the scientific community clean, right?
Exactly. You kind of went down fighting, I guess. So it's a massive props to them.
It's an inspiring thing to hear about, to be sure, because,
So that's kind of my news this week. Okay. I mean, we talk a lot about climate change. Even myself, you know, we all just feel like we're being hit over the head with, you know, don't eat so much meat and try and eat local and, you know, public transport. And I mean, we all sort of know what we need to do, but unfortunately our society is structured in a way that that is on growth, and that's the biggest problem. So, that's fixed, I think we're sort of stuck.
Agree. Yes. Driving electric cars is all very well and good, but you know, the energy required to create new cars and, you know, replacing every car on the road, for instance, would be really almost like have a negative effect in the long term. So it is.
Exactly. We sort of need this underpinning kind of lack of need for a car like we do now. Like, we just need to use, you know, 50% less of everything, almost, you know. But when we're expected to go out and be productive citizens and increase our productivity every year, like, that's at direct odds the planet's boundaries. I guess.
It's a finite space, I suppose you'd say.
That's absolutely correct. So I guess all we can do for now is, like I say, I've said a million times what we can all do on a day-to-day basis, but for now I guess it's, instead of kind of seeing these guys doing these protests and thinking, oh my gosh, they're a bit crazy, kind of try and have some empathy as to why they're doing it and hope that our leaders kind of create a pathway for us out of this crazy fossil fuel
corner we're
painting ourselves into.
You wouldn't take drastic action if you didn't think it was necessary. So, that's someone to think
about. Exactly.
Well, thank you very much, Rita.
No worries. Thanks, Paddy. It was lovely to chat to you.
Likewise, it was. Hope to talk to you again sometime. All right.
Yeah. See
you. Okay, cool. Bye. All right.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.